as a full-time pastor. So this is also a special experience as well. But let's get to the stuff for today. Where is your Darius? And this sermon is probably not going to go in the direction that you anticipate. But I want you to think with me, because something very special happens in Daniel, the sixth chapter. Let us pray. Lord God, the theme for this last quarter is one destiny. And I want to talk about today a phase of that destiny that the church needs to remember until you come. So speak through me today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thus far in the book of Daniel, we have seen God's hunger to save. Aren't you glad that God is hungry to save? I'll be talking about that in my last two sermons with you on the 16th and then on the 30th. And we particularly in the book of Daniel, Cecil, chapters 1 through 4, see God's hunger to save as he deals with Nebuchadnezzar. Have you followed that? Nebuchadnezzar. And we saw God, and I talked about it in my sermon on the second service the other week. We saw God bring the heathen Nebuchadnezzar to his knees. And of course, we were reminded, were we not, that if God has to break you to save you, he will break you. Can I get a witness in this house? If he's got to make you sick to save you, he'll make you sick. If he's got to take all your money to save you, you will be broke, but you'll be saved. It's a small price to play, Frank. And so we were amazed at the words of Daniel in Daniel 4, 34, and 35. Let me read those words again. And I blessed the Most High. Remember, these are the words that come, Debbie, after he has been 7 years crawling on his knees like an animal, eating grass out of his mind. But the Lord had said in the prophecy, seven times will pass over you, didn't he? But then he said, save the stump. At the very chime of the last note of the seventh year, he comes back to himself and he says, I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him that liveth forever. This is a Babylonian king talking, whose dominion is everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to all his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? There is not in all the scripture, you can read it from Genesis to Revelation, a stronger statement by anyone concerning the awesome majesty of God. It is recorded as coming from the mouth of a converted Babylonian. No Christian in Scripture, no Jewish believer in Scripture ever makes this kind of proclamation. You know, there's nothing, listen to me, folk, there's nothing about reaching that point where God actually grabs a hold of you and you are his. And you just flop yourself before him and in submission say, you are God, I am nothing. You're the Savior, I'm the saved. And that's where Nebuchadnezzar was at the end of chapter 4. Well, this morning I want to follow to the very next event. For the experience of the conversion of Nebuchadnezzar, full submission to the one true God, suggests a potent truth in our destiny. Listen now. It is our destiny, Ken, to rub off on somebody, listen, to influence somebody, it is our destiny to inspire some person outside our family circle to find the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Did you know that? The reason, Justin, that God called you into his church was that he wanted to use you to call somebody else into his church. Do you believe it, saints? That's a part of your destiny. You know, the old saints used to say, there'll be no starless crowns in heaven. And Ellen White implies that as she writes in Great Controversy. She talks about the many starry crowns. She says at least everyone has at least a star. Got to be somebody who's in heaven because of you. I wish somebody would get excited with me this morning. This is vital. And so I raise the question, where is your Darius? See, by the time we arrive at the events in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel's a senior citizen. He's been living in Babylon since he was a teenager. He and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, have been model citizens in a strange land. They were snatched from their beloved Judah as youth that have by faith prevailed in many circumstances, strange and unclean foods, threats of destruction by being torn in pieces, fiery furnace, and then the fall of their captors, Babylon, to the Persians. And now they're under the rule of the Persians, new masters. And all this time, Babylon is for them a place of captivity. Even with all the privileges that Daniel got, he still couldn't go home when he wanted to go home. Listen to some of the amazing things the Bible says about Daniel. See, and the point I'm trying to make is, Sister Blackwell, I'm trying to get us to see that on this planet Earth, listen, folk, on this planet Earth, you ought to be walking a path that's causing people to study you. Am I right about it, Cheryl? Yeah, we ought to be, listen. This is not an entertainment sermon. We ought to be living in a way that somebody is taking notice that we really are different. And so I made a list, Rick, of all the various things before you get to chapter 6 that are said about Daniel. Daniel 1:8, he purposed in his heart. He had a made-up mind. Somebody say amen. Daniel 1:9, and God brought him into favor because, listen, Fiona, because he had a made-up mind, God brought him into favor with people. The world, listen, look at our leadership today. Look at what's happening. The world is looking for somebody who's got some sense. You can't find it up top. Maybe we can find it somewhere down in the street. Just somebody with some common sense. The Lord brought him into favor with people. 1:15, Daniel 1:15. His countenance was fair and fatter and flesh and all these because he lived the health message. Now, I'm going to stay out of your stuff, but I'm just going to pause there for 5 seconds because he lived the health message. All right, leave it alone. People noticed him. And then 1:17, God gave him knowledge and skill and understanding of visions and dreams. He was a smart guy. He was a healthy guy. He was a light guy. Isn't that something? Living for God. See, your living for Jesus is not just to be a Seventh-day Adventist. Anybody can be a Seventh-day Adventist. But hey, how many Christians are in the Seventh-day Adventist church? Uh-oh, he didn't say that, did he? Yes, he sure did. He sure raised the question. Daniel 1:20, he was 10 times wiser than all the other magicians and astrologers. Daniel 2:48, he was promoted and became a great man, ruler over the province of Babylon and chief over the other governors. And then the Bible says he sat at the gate of the king. That is, you could not get to the king unless you went through Daniel. Can't you give Daniel a strong amen? He's just living the life. folk, he just, people who weren't believers, listen, people who weren't believers believed in Daniel. Where's your Darius? Where is that person who's not a Seventh-day Adventist? Where is that person who's not a Christian, who's developed a faith in you because of your consistency, your honesty, your character? Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. Did he say that? Daniel 4, 8 and 9. He described by Nebuchadnezzar as having in him the spirit of the holy gods. Do you live such a life that people actually see you as godly? Your co-workers, do they see you as godly? Your unbelieving relatives. Now, folk, there's a whole lot of relatives who are not Seventh-day Adventists because of their relatives who are Seventh-day Adventists. Did you follow that sentence? Wasn't that a good sentence? Wasn't that a good sentence? It's in my notes. I captured that thing. There's a whole lot of Seventh-day Adventists. Here's the thing, folk. Your relatives know you. Do they see you at family reunion? They see you at Christmas time. Your relatives know your stuff. You go around talking all you want to. You keep the Sabbath. And you don't eat this. You don't do that. But they know you. They know you can lose your temper. They know your stuff behind your stuff. Daniel 6:2. It says that he was the first amongst 120 rulers. In Daniel 6:3, he was preferred above all the rulers and placed over the whole realm. My Lord. Now, this consistency and submission that Daniel had to accept God's ruling in his life in such a way that he was a witness to the fact that there was one true God, that he would serve him no matter what. His consistency. What word did I say? What word did I say? See, I declare you today that the biggest sin in the church is not Sabbath breaking, drinking, smoking, lying, committing adultery. The biggest sin in the church is inconsistency. An inconsistent religious spirituality confuses people. I thought he was a Christian. And you'd be amazed. The people that you work around, relatives, who know what you're supposed to believe. See, when they found out at work you were Seventh-day Adventist, some folk went online. And they looked up Seventh-day Adventists. You didn't know they did that. And so they know you should be leaving work at 4 if the sun sets at 4:30. Did you notice? I didn't get one nary an amen. Just little meanie amen. Amen. They know at the office party, Christmas party, what you should or should not be drinking. They looked it up online. They know what you should be doing. And yet, hear me now, he maintained this consistency. Watch it. Even though he had lost a lot. See, many times we let the things, Carl, we go through be our excuse for not being faithful. But Daniel, first of all, at an early age, he lost his manhood. He was a eunuch. You do know what that means, don't you? Good. He had few friends who were Babylonian. He lost his homeland. He lost his family. And in spite of his elevated status, he always was a captive, therefore always watched, therefore always guarded. And because of the circles he ran in, he had inside information, so his phones were always tapped. But he did hear the pastor. He did not, Beverly, allow those pressures to be an excuse for not being consistently faithful. I need you to get that this morning. Sickness is not an excuse for not being faithful. Bad weather is not an excuse for not coming to church. You know I had to get that thing, I had to sling that thing in there some kind of way. It's been on my heart all morning. I'm up, I'm here. You get up, you get here. All right, I got out of my system now. I can go on and preach my sermon. We have all these Minnie Mouse reasons why. Well, I've not been returning tithe. You know, things have been tight. They're going to stay tight because you're robbing God. Ain't never going to get loose. He didn't let his problems compromise his faithfulness. Somebody give Daniel an amen. And then in today's chapter 6, he's envied. He's never accepted by his professional peers. They were always out to get him, and yet, because of his life, he produced a Darius. Now, let's go to chapter 6, because some amazing things happened there. You know the story. Daniel had risen so high, got through the Babylonian captivity, now he's under the Persian captivity, and already Darius notices there's something special about this guy. So he's got privileges. He's over everybody. These Persians can't take this. So they've been watching him. See, I told you, you're being watched. Folk, the Persians are watching you. And they come up with this, and the Bible, I like the way the Bible puts it, says, could they say that about me? That the only way you're going to get to Daniel, you got to get to him through his religion. That's a sermon by itself. You want to mess with him? You got to do so by messing with his faith. Because faith is all he is. So they've been watching him, Rick, and they know the brother prays, and he don't pray. He doesn't pray in private. Daniel goes to his window and throws it open. Prays. I think he prays loud. Lord God in heaven. And the Persians are listening to him. They're sick of it. All right, they go to the king. Hey, guess what, king? You great. We ain't never seen nobody like you. And we think for at least 30 days, folks ought to just pray to you. And Darius, you know, okay. Sounds all right to me. Now, we want to make it a law, king. The law of the kings and Medes and Persians can be changed. Okay, I'll sign. They fix the papers. He signs it. Like some other president I know, don't even look at it, just signs it. Stay in your sermon, Henry. Stay in your sermon. And within a few minutes, you begin to sense that Darius is second-guessing himself. But he goes on. Well, these connivers go right out. They know what Daniel's going to do. They done set this thing up. We got him. There he is again. And the Bible points out the fact that in spite of the law, see, folk, he could, I don't know about you, I would have considered still praying. But my window's closed. Still prayer. You know how we can reason. Now, still prayer. I'm going to work on Sabbath, but I'm going to read my Bible while I'm at work. Won't give tithe this month, but next month I'll double up. Folk, the reasoning we use sometimes that insults the intelligence of God. There he is praying, window open. They come back, tell Darius, he's upset, he knows what's going on. Look at Daniel 6, verse 14. So I like the way this thing plays out. Daniel 6 and verse 14. I want you to see now the byplay, back and forth. Daniel 6, 14. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with what? Himself. He knew he'd been duped. And set his heart on Daniel to do what? And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. That thing so upset him, he put aside all of his stately appointments for the rest of the day, trying, Rick, to come up with some way to get his friend Daniel out of this mess. See, where's your Darius? Where's that person who's come to believe in you and your character so much they will move heaven and earth to help you because they know you are a good person? I want you to think about this sermon. Where's your Darius? Where's that boss who, even though they know that maybe you're leaving early on Friday is contrary to policy, they just look the other way? They look out for you. God moves through them because God has been allowed to move through you. It's verse 16 that blows my mind. Folk, it's verse 16 that blows my mind. You see it on the screen? I want us all to read this together. This is the key verse of the sermon. Come on. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke. Who spoke? Who spoke? What's his name? Yes. Some say Darius. It's Darius. Just to help you out. What does he say? What does this non-church member say? Now you can be calm. I'm excited. Read it. What did he say? He may. He's thinking about it. I hope. Come on, somebody. This is coming from a non-church member. This is coming from a heathen. This is coming from a person who doesn't know Genesis or Revelation. This person has never seen a Sabbath School Quarterly, never heard a sermon by C.D. Brooks. This person has never been to General Conference. He just has seen Daniel. And because of what he's seen in Daniel, I know your God. Hallelujah. I know your God. That text sends chills through my mind. I know your God. Not he may. Not I'm hoping. He will deliver you. Look at verses 17 and 18, Daniel 6. See it? Then a stone was brought, laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it. I like this part. With his own signet ring, with the signet of his lords. Why? So them crooks wouldn't come back and open that den and stir up them lions and kill Daniel. That's how precious Daniel was to Darius. Where's your Darius? Where's that person that so believes in you? They'll stretch themselves to protect you. You see, Phil, in the book Great Controversy, Ellen White says, because of the faithfulness, Romania, of his people, that God will send people who are not going to be saved, who will look out for us in the time of trouble. Come on, somebody. Who will put themselves in the... Why? They will be our Darius. Folk, faith and consistent living is a powerful force on the planet. There are people who are as dirty as dirt, but they recognize quality when they see it. They have no principles. They have no morals. But they know when they see it. Where's your Darius? Where's your Darius? Then verse 18, now the king went back to his palace and spent the night fasting. No musicians. were brought before him. And he didn't sleep all night. Verse 20. Verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. If this was a movie, you could hear the drums rolling in the background. The music is building. The violins have gotten stronger. And the camera's right behind Darius's head and following him as he goes. Can you see it? And you want to see the lion's den with him. Daniel! Is your God, was he able to deliver you? And all his heart leaped as Daniel responded, my God, come on somebody. My God, shut up the lions. Where's your Darius? Like Daniel, we're surrounded by the unbelieving, our neighbors, our co-workers. They could be family, even a spouse. There are spouses married to Adventists who are not Adventists because of their Adventist spouse. You don't get the idea, Dunbar, that Daniel went around giving Bible studies to Darius or urging him to join him in prayer. He just lived it. He just lived it. He just lived it, y'all. He just lived it. And it was so powerful. It was so meaningful. Daniel was irresistible. And we know Darius was not fully converted yet. He grabbed all them rascals and put them in the lion's den and their families and kids. So Darius is still growing. He ain't there yet. He ain't there yet. Let's keep that straight. The Holy Ghost has not yet possessed him. He cleaned house. But where is your Darius? Where is that person who's growing and beginning to believe, who's changing because they're around you? Where are they? Because I declare unto you, Damon Allen, that until there is that Darius, until there's that person, and maybe you have one. If he is, praise God. Praise God. But there's got to be somebody who, just because you live and breathe this message, there's got to be somebody. You know, it's amazing. When you look at verse 16, which is my favorite verse in that chapter, it's amazing. You would think it would have been Daniel who would have said, my God, whom I serve, I know he will deliver me. Folk, it was not Daniel. I'm not questioning Daniel's faith, but it was not Daniel. It was the observer of Daniel. It was the co-worker of Daniel. It was the unbelieving associate of Daniel who said, what I have seen out of you, I don't know nothing about no Ellen White. I ain't never been to no Adventist revival. But what I've seen out of you, Daniel, the God you serve, that's a God I'll see in the morning. You will not be dinner. Your God will deliver you. Is that all right, saints? I ask one more time. Where is your Darius? If you want that faith, if you want that consistency, if you want that straight backbone of Christian life that leaves people speechless at you, they can't explain your faith, but they believe in it. They don't know your God, but they believe in him. If you want that, would you stand with me right now? Would you stand with me right now? In response to the question, where is your Darius? Let's pray. Lord, wow. Wow. My, my, my. Never quite saw the lines then that way. But now I see it. Thank you for helping me to visit that one more time and revealing to me my responsibility to live. I got some Dariuses in my neighborhood, Lord. Folks I've been living around in that house for 20-some years. What do they really see in me? Oh, we discuss the Bible sometimes. They come to me when strange things happen. One of my neighbors has even stopped cursing, his wife says, because of me. Have mercy. But is he my Darius? We've been put here by you, Lord, and trusted with a truth unlike anything on this planet. We literally live with gold and silver and platinum in our bosom. Help us to reveal our treasure with such an humble consistency that people are compelled to believe. We cry out for it. We cry out for it and ask for forgiveness that we've been so slow to develop it. Thank you for hearing this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you glad you heard this word this morning? God bless you. God bless you.